Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how this ministry is impacting your life. So if you would please take a moment and send us your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And if you'd like to partner with this ministry financially, you can do that at oceansunite.com and select the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining in, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
You know, it's that time of the year right now where, there's so much of Christmas in the atmosphere, so much of, it's amazing. I always find it funny for us here in Florida because, you know, when we watch even this morning, the video that Naomi selected for us, it's all about, big jackets and snowflakes and hot chocolate. And here we are cooking in Florida. Amen. And, we need videos that where they make palm trees in the sun and, sipping, not cocktails on the beach, but, stuff on the beach, just relaxing. Amen. If you sip a cocktail on the beach, you're bad. You're going to hell. Amen. Okay. Just relax, guys. Amen. It's okay. Sometimes you have to shock the religion out of people. Amen. Okay. I need to calm down. Okay. So, with that, it's incredible because don't think I'm a liberal pastor. That's not the case. Okay. That's not how I am. Okay. I preach the truth. The only the truth. Is that okay? I do my absolute best to stay true to the text all the time. Amen. So, I was joking. Amen. Okay. Maybe if you drink, let's just stop. Amen. Let's just stop right now. Let's just move on. Amen. There's a whole sermon on it. Go find it. It's a good sermon. Amen. Okay. So, in my house right now, I can't walk into the living room, the TV room, family room, whatever you call it, and there's Hallmark movies on. That's all my wife and daughter are playing, these Christmas movies, and love is in the air, and it's the Christmas wishes and the joy, and it's that time of the year. And, it's interesting because I think in a way we kind of all really like that warm and fuzzy feeling, that it's the Christmas time and, but the reality is that the greatest gift the world has ever had and ever will have is Jesus. Amen. He is the reason for the season. Amen. I mean, that is what it's all about. And I'm amazed because I watch, these movies. I have to confess, I do watch some of them. And I'm amazed because the theme in all of them is the Christmas wish or the Christmas miracle. Man, we have the real miracle. We have the miracle working power of God in our lives. That is available to us not only at Christmas time, but all throughout the year. Every day, any day, all day, it's available. But we choose to only believe in, rubbing a ball or shaking a little thing or going to Santa Claus and maybe he'll give us the answer. Well, the reality is that the true answer and the true joy and the true miracle and the true salvation and peace and everything that we need comes from Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about one of the themes of this time of the year, which is joy. We all need joy. Joy needs to be in us, unspeakable joy, joy overflowing. It needs to be a part of our lives all the time, every day, leading us and guiding us. The joy of the Lord is such a powerful thing. The problem is that many of us mistaken the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is not joy, and joy is not happiness. Happiness is something that you receive from an external thing. So for example, if I know I'm going on vacation next week, I get happy. Amen. I don't know about you, but if you're going on vacation, do you not get happy? I get happy. Amen. But that's not joy. Okay, if I get a new car, that feeling when you get a new car and you're all excited about the new car, that's happiness. Or if you receive a gift or something like that, that's happiness. That's the feeling of happiness. But joy is something completely different. You see, joy does not come from an external expression. Joy comes from inside you. Joy is internal. In fact, the Bible, the meaning of the word joy, one of the most powerful meanings is a delight. It's almost like a peaceful delight. that is just there. And somehow, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what's coming against you, for some unknown reason, there's this joy that's just evident or present within you. At least how it's supposed to be for us. Is that okay? Let me read you a few scriptures. Let's go to Nehemiah 8, verse number 10. Nehemiah 8, verse number 10. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions of those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I tell you, I am amazed, because if you understand the fruit of the Spirit, which really describes the nature of God, and as you meditate on the Word and spend time with God and get to know God, so the Holy Spirit will begin to transform you on the inside, and you'll become more, you'll begin to bear more fruit of the Spirit in your life. Now, joy happens to be one of those fruits. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. But the fact of the matter is that as that joy increases and becomes more a part of your life, so you become stronger. You see, when joy comes, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when joy comes, it doesn't matter what the enemy brings against you, you remain strong in the Lord. And that's why joy is your strength. And we'll get a little bit more into that in just a minute. Let's go to John 15, verse number 11. Now, stay with me this morning, because I am going somewhere. Amen. And it's no rocket science, but I believe it'll really speak to your heart and encourage you this morning. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." In other words, God is saying He wants our joy, His joy, to remain in us, and He wants our joy to be full. As I was explaining just a minute ago, you see, when your joy is full, what that means is you are full of joy. And it doesn't matter what depression comes. It doesn't matter when fear comes. It doesn't matter when anything comes, because you are full with joy. So there's no space anymore. Your cup runneth over. You are at the maximum point. There's no more room for anything else in you when the enemy comes with everything he desires to bring against you. Maybe the enemy doesn't attack you, but he certainly likes to attack me. Amen. And I know he attacks you too. Amen. He attacks all of us in our thought life, in our marriages, in our businesses, in all different areas. He comes, attacks us. He really likes to attack you when it comes to your relationship with God. Because as long as he can get you to the place where you think that God's so angry with you that you no longer have communion with him, that's when he's got you right where he wants you. But you see, if you remain in joy, and you remain full of joy, there's no more space for the enemy. Now watch. It's interesting, because Jesus says this. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may remain in you, and so that your joy may be full." So what is it that we have to do to get to the place where his joy remains in us and his joy is full in us? He says, "These things I have said to you." So we need to look at the things that he said to get us to the place where we are like that. Is that okay? So let's go a few verses back and see what it is that God says, what Jesus said. Now watch, let's go to verse number 5. John 15, verse number 5. We'll start there. Amen. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do Nothing. Let's start. That's the first point I want to make this morning. In order for us to get to the place where His joy becomes full in us and we are abiding in His joy the whole time, what is it that we need? The first thing that He says is that we must abide in Him. Or he must abide in us. Is that okay? Now, it's interesting because the word abide there means to remain, to stay, to persist, to continue to live, to wait for, to keep on going, to keep on. So in other words, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me is the one who will bear much fruit, fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. But watch now, because you see, here he's speaking about more than just the fruit of the Spirit, because you see, when you are full of joy, that means that joy begins to run over. So when you're in Christ, when you're in God, when you're in relationship, when you're in good standing, when you're walking with Him, when your relationship means something, when you're keeping on, when you're seeking Him, when you're with Him, when you're hungry for Him, when you wake up in the morning and you speak to Him and He's just all over you and that's just how you live your life, what happens is joy then begins to bear in you. You become full of joy, and also you get to the place where it overflows. So not only is it affecting your life, but it begins affecting others' lives as well. So it's a two-edged sword. It's the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of productivity, because you become useful with that joy. Can you imagine? Jesus knew when He was born that He was going to die, and He had joy all the time. That should give us something to think about. Amen. But I love this, because in Psalm 16, verse number 11, this is what it says. Psalm 16, verse 11. Let me give you a second if you want to go there. This is hard for me waiting for you guys. You know, I just want to go. Amen. You see, David understood this. That he who abides in me, in other words, he understood that it was critical for him to stay in God, to stay in relationship, to keep on, to maintain that relationship, to persist in that relationship. And so he says this, he says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The reality is if you're looking for true joy, you see, the problem with us is we go everywhere else to find fulfillment, to find peace, to find joy. We go everywhere else where David says, here's the key. The key is that in the presence of God, when you abide in Him, when you spend time with Him, when you wake up and argue with Him about what happened yesterday at the building, you see, it's all about relationship. It's not about religion or said this or said that. What are you doing with your relationship with Him? Are you abiding Him in Him, or are you not abiding in Him? The fact of the matter is that when you're abiding in His presence, when you're seeking His presence, then fullness of joy comes. How does my cup get full, Lord? How do I get to the place where my cup is full, where I'm full of joy? The key is to remain in His presence, to abide in His presence. I was telling the first group this morning that I preach to you, and in our minds, one and one is two, two and two is four. But the reality is you have a spirit inside you. Not the Holy Spirit, he's also inside you, but you have a spirit, your spirit, because you are spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is always in conflict, because the flesh, the body, is always desiring to do what it wants to do. The spirit man is crying out, desiring that you be everything God wants you to be. The soul is in conflict, not knowing which way to turn. And that's why your soul is perplexed sometimes. And your mind is going through torment, because you're torn between the two, your spirit and your body. The fact is, Paul even speaks about this. I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And he speaks about this war between the spirit and the flesh that's constantly going on. When I preach a word like this to you, you may be thinking one and one makes two, but I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to your spirit man. Because if your spirit man gets it, and you begin to be sensitive to your spirit and the Holy Spirit that's working with your spirit, And your spirit begins to speak to you and says, listen, dummy. What he's saying is, when we're in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Then your spirit man inside you is saying, come on, get into his presence, put on some worship music and begin to lift your hands, begin to surrender to him. You see, you'll never have true joy. You'll never have true peace unless it comes from God. He created peace. He created joy. He created love. It comes from him. So there's nowhere else you're going to get it except in his presence. And I'm preaching to myself. Amen. I preach to my own soul. You better get it. Wake up. Amen. So we see that the first key is he who abides in me. And we see that when you are seeking the presence of God and walking with God, then that's when the fullness of joy comes. Seek him, speak to him, and you'll find that you will begin to walk with joy. The problem with most of us, and it's either been seasons in our lives or something we do around and around and around the mountain, is we don't abide in his presence. We only go there when trouble comes. So the only time I cry out to him is when the mess has already occurred. The problem with that is when you go to him, you're empty. Now, he's good and faithful. He will fill you up. But you see, if you're abiding in him and you go through the trials and the tribulations, all of a sudden you find out that you just seem to go through them. Yes, you feel it and you're aware of it, but somehow you just get through it. Somehow you just push through it. Somehow you have the victory. You don't really understand why. And you don't even know why you still seem to feel okay, because you should be falling apart, but you're not falling apart because there's a joy inside of you that is unspeakable. So we've got to get ourselves to the point where we don't only go to God in desperation and then he doesn't answer us and we get mad at him. You see, it's in the word. Just obey. But it's so hard for us because we have a soul. Sometimes I wish that he didn't give us our own free will. But I guess that would take away the beauty of it all, of man choosing to love God back, choosing to worship him, choosing to surrender to him. You see, that defies Satan's plan. Because you see, Satan's plan, he wants you to worship you. He doesn't even want you to worship him. He just wants you to worship you. My way, my will, my desires, me, myself, and I. But to actually step back and say, listen, God, I give you my life. You gave me yours first, so I give you mine back. I choose to worship. I choose to abide. I choose to follow you. I choose to serve you. I choose to love you back, Lord. Amen. Let's go back to John 15. Let's go to verse number 6. We'll carry on from there. So the first key is to abide in him. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, key number one, now watch, and my words abide in you. This is powerful now. You will ask whatever you what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, here's the punch. You see, it doesn't work like this. Oh, God, give me a Ferrari, and he gives you one. You're missing what the scripture is saying. What the scripture is saying is this: if you abide in me, if you seek me, if you stay with me, if you keep on fighting, you keep on going, you keep on serving, you keep on, and my words abide in you. Now, that word words there is not the word logos. It is the Greek word rhema, which is completely different. You see, the logos is the written word of God. As you read it on the pages, that's the logos, the written word. But the word rhema is a very powerful word. It speaks of the revealed word, the word that then you speak, the word that jumps off the page and actually means something to you. You see, what happens is when you get rhema, when you get rhema and you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden the rhema word comes to you and you see that the Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe, that they will cast out demons, they will lay hands on the sick. You see, when you read it and it jumps out at you and all of a sudden now you believe it, when you speak to that sickness must obey and that sickness must leave. The problem is we don't believe it. Don't get angry at me. It's in your Bible. Well, you think he's going to give you a Ferrari if you ask him for one? Come on. Put it into context. Abide in me, my words in you. When his words abide in you, you see, it's no longer your will, but his will. It's no longer my way, but his way. What does he desire? So I ask what he desires because he put his word in me. It's become alive in me. And so I speak what he speaks. I say what his word says. It's alive. It's breathing. It must come to pass. It must submit to what the word says because the word is the final authority. Amen. Let's leave it there. And my words abide in you, and you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. So the first thing is we need to abide in him. The second thing is his words need to abide in us. They need to come alive. They need to become a rhema in us. Verse number 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Listen. How many of you here want to be his disciple? I don't just want to be saved. I want to be a disciple. Amen. I want to follow him. I want to serve him. I want to speak his name. I want to declare him on the rooftops. I want to share what he's put in me. Amen. In other words, if we want to be a disciple, we must bear fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by what's in them, what manifests out of them, how they affect people's lives. You'll know them. So in other words, when we abide in him and abide in his word, what happens is then fruit begins to produce in our lives and we become a true disciple. A true disciple. Now watch. Verse number 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So the first thing is abide in him, that his words will abide in you. And then he says, abide in my love. And I love this. If we go to Ephesians 3, verse number 17, I want to show you how powerful this is. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able, so he's saying he wants you to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. The reality is that when it comes to the love of God, the depth, the width, the height, the length of it is far too great. And the reality is it's far too great for your mind to comprehend because it surpasses all knowledge. It passes all knowledge. So as much as he wants you to understand it, the reality is you cannot understand it with your natural mind. All knowledge cannot grasp and give you what you need. It has to come from inside you. The only time you'll truly begin to have a glimpse, never understand fully, but have a glimpse of what really took place when the King of all creation, the God of the universe, the one who gave us breath and hair and eyes to see and ears to hear and a nose and a mouth and free will and opinion, this God decided to humble himself, send his son as a servant to die for you, the greatest gift the world has ever had, so that you could have eternal life, so that you could have a future, so that you could have a hope, so that you could have destiny and purpose and spend eternity with him. How can we understand that love? It cannot be comprehended with our minds. Oh, but I understand it. No, you don't. You can't. I can't. We can't. Amen. It's far too great. It's far too wide. It's far too long. But Jesus is saying, and his words are so amazing. There's nothing more enjoyable for me as a pastor to be able to preach what Jesus says, because every word is packed with power. Every word is packed with life. Every word is packed with truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so when you preach his words, but you preach them like they still have impact today, that's when you understand what he means when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Abide in me. My words abide in you, and abide in my love. Stay in that place, knowing that regardless of what you do, he will always love you. His love is sufficient for you. His mercies are new every day. I have watched people. I've watched people over the years, and I've lived through it myself, thinking that maybe this will bring me joy. Maybe this will make me happy. Maybe this will solve the problem. But there's only one answer and only one way to true joy, to true peace. And it amazes me as the Holy Spirit taps on people's doors that there are people that just... While God is encountering the person next to you, you are oblivious. Listen to me. I wanted to say this in the first service. I never did. I'm going to say it now. The day is coming again where people will drop dead in churches. Mark my words. Where we will not be able to play games anymore with God and the Holy Spirit. We cannot lie to him. That's a whole nother sermon for another day. Amen. But if we abide in him, his words abide in us. We abide in his words and abide in his love. That's when we will begin to experience the fullness of what he has for us. Now watch. Verse number 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The word keep there is a powerful word in the Greek. It means to guard over, to watch over, to pay attention to. The reality is, if you haven't noticed, it's kind of hard to not sin. Okay, we all fall short and make mistakes, but I guard over his word. I guard over his commandments. I seek to please him. I seek to do his will. I seek to follow him. I guard it. I keep it. I follow it. I desire it. And when I mess up, I get up. I carry on. I seek his face again. I repent. I turn from my wicked ways and I keep on going. I keep on going. Because my heart, my soul longs to please him. My soul guards after those commandments. Every word in his book. If he says give, I give. If he says do this, I do this. If he says go left, I go left. If he says love, I try my best to love. I do what I can to follow him and obey what he says. But I do fall short. But it's all about the heart. It doesn't matter which way I go and which sermon I preach, I always end up back in the same place. God is after your heart. Now watch. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. What things? If we abide in Him, if we abide and His words abide in us, His word, the Rhema, revelation, if we abide in His love and keep His commandments, God after His commandments, then guess what happens? Your joy will be, His joy will remain in you, and your joy will be full. Now watch. Let's go to Psalm 30, verse number 5. I want to show you something. Are you guys all okay? Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Alex, you know, I have had no joy. Maybe your life hasn't been so great. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe your relationship with God wasn't good. Maybe you've gotten to the point where you feel like God's given up on you. I love David's life because it gives me hope. And one thing about David is the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. You see, David understood what I taught you this morning. Now watch. This is David now. For his anger is but for a moment. What you need to understand is if you abide in Him, in other words, if you keep on going with Him, even when you mess up, even when you fall, even when you stumble, even when you fall short, the fact is His anger is only but for a moment. And the Bible says, it goes on to say, His favor is for life. The reality is that you have been bought by a great price. He loves you. He chose you. He selected you. You've been adopted by Him. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. When your children have let you down or failed you or done something that you were not pleased with, when did your favor lift off your children? And how is it so that you, being evil, can give good gifts and feel that way about your children? How much more would God do that for you? The problem is we can't see it. We don't understand the length, the depth, the greatness of His love towards us. It is so much higher, so much further, so much deeper than we can ever imagine. The reality is if you are a child of God, if you have given your life to Him, you are a son and a daughter. That means the same way that David could go before Him and say, Father, I messed up, but I remain in You. Please forgive me, Lord. And his anger's but for a moment. And the reality is that His favor will remain with you all the days of your life. Weeping may endure for a night. When we make mistakes, when we mess up, when we get to the point where we feel like it might be over, yes, we do cry. We feel like, how can this be? We feel lonely. We feel like we've given up. But the fact is if we can remain in Him, remain in His word, remain in His love, keep His commandments, keep on seeking after Him. Listen, it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Make the decision now and say, this is me. I choose this. I choose to follow after You, God. Then you must understand, read the next verse. But His joy comes in the morning. So the reality is once you've made that decision, once you've said, listen, I know what I did yesterday, but right now I make a choice to abide in You, God. I make a choice to abide in Your word. I make a choice to abide in Your love. Then you must understand that the weeping comes to an end. His favor is still upon you, and joy will come to you, and it will be full, and you can get through anything the enemy brings against you. Anything he brings against you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, Father, we come to You right now. Please dim the lights. We come to You right now in this place. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we love You so much. Your word is so powerful. It is so sharp, Lord. It has the ability to cut right through, right to the very depths of our soul and even into our spirit, oh God. And I pray this morning, Father, that we will take this word and it will become rhema to us, Father. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the joy of the Lord is always there and gives us the ability to overcome every attack from any angle, from any devil, from any person. And so I pray, Lord, this morning, that even as there are people in this place and maybe those watching online, Father, who have been in a dry place, a lonely place, a place where they feel they've let you down, whatever the case might be, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you will begin to do a work in their hearts, that you will draw them. Your word says that no one comes to you unless you draw them. And so I pray that as you draw and pull on their hearts this morning, Father, that they will come to you and say, I choose to abide in you. I choose to abide in your word, and your word abide in me. I choose to abide in your love, and I desire to keep and guard after your commandments. Your love is so deep and so wide and so long. How is it that you can love us like this, Father? How is it that you are mindful of us? How is it that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How is it that your grace is still sufficient for us? How is it, Lord? How is it, Lord? How is it, Holy Spirit? We welcome you. We always want you here. We desire you in this place, Father. Your presence is all we need to bring healing, to bring salvation, to bring restoration. And we will abide in your presence this morning. Father, I pray right now that you will just touch the brokenhearted in this place. You will touch those who have lost hope. And Father, I pray that this word will speak life to them right now in the name of Jesus. If you've come here or you're watching online and you say, Pastor, I want to give my heart to him. I want to commit my life to him. I want to recommit my heart to him this morning. I'm tired of this world. I want to abide in him. If that's you, I'm not going to call you to the front. Just lift your hand up. I want to pray for you real quick. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you in the back there. You can put your hands down, guys. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, include me in this prayer and I'll include you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, include me. I've had enough of this world. I want my joy to be full. I want to walk in the fullness. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. God bless you. God bless you. Can we all stand for just a moment, please? If I can ask you all to pray this prayer with me, but specifically those of you that lifted your hands this morning, I want you to know that when you desire and you make this decision that the joy of the Lord will be your strength, understand something. It comes from inside. It's not a feeling that floats in the air. It doesn't come externally. Make a decision this morning to mean what you say from the very depths of your heart, and he will change everything for you. Listen, the God I serve is so alive and so real and so wonderful and so powerful and so loving and so good. And he is your God as well. So let's pray this together. Father, we come to you this morning. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. Forgive me for my sins. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Give me a new start. Give me a new start, Lord. A new person, a new beginning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I just pray for these that have received you now. Father, that your word will abide in them and that they will abide in you and you in them, Father. And I pray that they will never be the same again. And for all of us this morning, Father, let us be filled with your joy. Let us be filled with your peace, with your love, with your goodness, with your kindness, with your gentleness, with self-control. Let the joy and the fruits of the Spirit overflow out of us, O God, that we can be an expression to the world, Father, an expression of you and not of ourselves, Father. Lord, I pray for every person that committed their hearts to you this morning. Let it be a change from the inside out, O God. Let them have a new passion, a new zeal, a new hunger for you like never before, Father. Let them open the Word and the words jump off the page. Lord, let them fall in love with you. Let them fall in love with you, Father. And so we love you, we praise you, we worship you, and we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. I also pray for every person this morning, Father, as they leave this place, that they will leave with the joy of the Lord, and it will be their strength, that they will go in the peace of God. And I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every one of you as you go your separate way. God bless you. We love you. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.